A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
This is an ode to Napa cabbage. Of all the cabbages on all the cabbage farms, only you have the crisp crunch worthy of our Bibigo Korean dumplings. No other cabbage would do, because no other cabbage tastes like you. We love you, Napa cabbage. Just don't tell Green Onion. Napa cabbage, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every hearty, flavorful Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. Garnett and I are back with Mark Friedler to continue our discussion. This time we talk about building a business and that you never build something to fall in love with it. We also learn what Mark is doing in blockchain and we get some predictions from him about the future of work. We also have a spirited discussion about open offices and some societal challenges that need innovation. Let's get back to it.
My first investment fund in Denver, you know, my partner in that was the guy who was with you and me, Mark, in Silicon Alley. And, you know, he was at Stock Objects and then the next two companies. And he told me something when we were putting together the first fund. He's like, yeah, you never build anything to fall in love with it. You build it to sell it. That's somewhat like antithetical to, you know, the authenticity message and the timing, but, you know, it kind of focuses on that harsh reality that you were talking about, you know, selling a company to a big brand.
Garnett, you make an excellent point because I think he's absolutely right. And I think there's a time in a company's life where you come to a fork in the road and you're like, we're building to sell and we're building for a financial transaction, or we're building to like long-term, you know, build the business. You know, you look like at the 38 Signals guys, you know, what they've done with Basecamp. They're just like, you right. know, plugging along, making it bigger and bigger every year. And they don't want to sell. They're happy with that. And that's perfectly fine. Or there's some people that, hey, we just want to have a lifestyle business. We want to do it. We don't want to sell. That's perfectly fine. Not everything is meant to be a unicorn, right? Not
right.
everything's to be a billion-dollar market cap.
Right.
But if you do want to go the, you know, the M&A route, then I think you have to be incredibly savvy and incredibly situationally aware. You know,
yep.
I go back to the there is no rewind button. And so a friend of mine was in a pretty famous company. He was a head of sales there. The CEO was just a total jerk, total jerk. And one of the biggest tech companies out there came and wanted to buy these people, would have been a great tuck-in, made a lot of sense. But after a couple meetings with the CEO, they're like, we can't work with this guy. No, we're not going to do it. So they ended up not doing the deal. They bought their competitor, and that company a few years down the road basically withered on the vine. So, you know,
wow.
If you are going that M&A route, you know, the most important lesson in doing the M&A route is don't be an asshole.
Hey,
nobody wants to work with an asshole. You know, like
exactly.
when I came into AOL, you know, I said to the guy I report to, I'm like, look, my job is to make you look good. I'm going to do everything I can to make you successful. Because at the end of the day, the person who's sponsoring the acquisition, that's all they care about is looking good.
Making sure that their choice was the right one.
Yeah. And if they did a bad deal and it blows up on them, that could be a career ender for them. So, you know, keep that in mind. When you're building a business, you have to look out for the person that acquired you because they're kind of your air cover.
Let's fast forward to blockchain stuff a little bit. All the advice that you're giving is awesome. And hopefully a lot of the people listening here build businesses that get acquired and they're better off because of your good advice. You know, one of the things that I've always loved about you is just how you have your finger on the pulse of like what's new, what's disruptive, what's lucrative in tech and to some extent in the investment field. Tell us more about what you've been doing in the blockchain space, because I know that you have like systematically and methodically made yourself into definitely a thought leader, I would say, and maybe even an innovator. Tell us what you're doing in blockchain and what's so exciting about it.
Well, I think what's the blockchain thing kind of came easily for me because a lot of the early people in the games world who I knew and worked with back in the day were also early people in blockchain. A lot of reason for that was, you know, in the games world, you know, video games were the first market where people could buy and sell digital assets. You know, people are like, what? You buy a character in a game for real money? What? You know, that's weird. You know, that was a while ago, but now that's commonplace. So a couple of people I knew there who were big shots already in the industry asked me to help on a couple projects. I advised a few projects. And then, you know, I got inside. I learned about it. I read the Bitcoin white paper. You know, I was excited about Ethereum. I got offered to invest in the first round of Ethereum. Unfortunately, I missed that one. But, you know, when I looked at blockchain, I had that feeling that I had in 1994 when the internet was starting to happen. But with the internet, then no one knew what was ahead. And now with blockchain, I kind of felt like this is 1994 and I have all the learnings of the last 25 years to know that this is going to be way bigger than some stupid site of listing of ads or this. Like it's going to change a lot of things. And the thing that I like about blockchain is the fact that it's decentralized, it's distributed, it solves all security issues, it empowers people, there's an incentive mechanism. You know, not to get into all the details, but there are a lot of use cases that make sense on blockchain. Now, when I mean 1994, if you roll the clock back, you know, people thought AOL was the internet, right? People would go on AOL to message and to get into chat rooms, and they thought that was the internet. But it wasn't, right? It was its own little private walled garden. But people understood the value of messaging and communicating with people they didn't know and all over the world and socializing, and that drove the internet. So the first application of the technology layer of the internet was communications, and now we have commerce and dating and IoT and all these different things built on top of the platform. So what I mean by 1994, the first execution of blockchain technology is digital money, of which Bitcoin was, you know, the most well-known and so far the largest. And there are a lot of different executions of digital money from Ethereum to all these different, you know, Ripple, all these different things. But there are a lot of different use cases that are exciting. And, you know, I'd be happy to talk about what I'm doing now inside of this big Fortune 100 company and helping them find use cases for enterprise blockchain. And why they've even considered it is, you know, the trustless mechanism of enterprise blockchain. There's a guy who I like a lot, respect a lot. He was a MIT professor, a Wall Street Journal guy, Michael J. Casey, who wrote a really good kind of layman's book on blockchain and Bitcoin called The Truth Machine. And basically, it breaks down the whole concept of like trustless mechanism. So it's like, hey, I don't know you, you don't know me, we don't know that person. Why are we going to send like money to that person? How are we going to transact in a way where everyone has visibility and trust and security? So not to get into the weeds, this could be a whole longer conversation, but blockchain solves a lot of those issues. Now, blockchain isn't the magic fairy dust that everything is going to be all blockchain. You know, as we saw in the ICO world, there was a lot of BS, a lot of scams, a lot of stuff that never should have been there. But as a technology, there are a lot of use cases in blockchain, and I'm personally working on several of those, you know, with this really large enterprise right now.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
Let's start winding this piece up around this one notion, which I'm excited to hear. Give me a couple of predictions. Give me a couple of, you know, future work, future of any of the industry verticals that you're comfortable with and successful in, and we'll ping you in a year and see if you're right.
Yeah, I think the future of work is people just don't want to get up and get on a train or drive and sit their butts down in an office. I mean, I just saw a research study recently that, you know, 70 some odd percent of people are not engaged at work, right? They don't feel connected. They don't feel like they're adding value. So I think the whole, you know, what is work? How does work happen? I think there has to be something closer to co-working, though I don't like these big open offices where, like, you know, everyone is just doing different stuff. I find it kind of distracting.
Oh my God, what a scam that's turned out to be, that whole open plan office thing. There was like a whole decade where, you know, people made a fortune on building that, and all of a sudden...
Don't get me started on that.
Right? The research is in now.
Yeah.
And it's like the worst thing ever for motivation, engagement, productivity.
So me personally, I'm super engaged if I know that I can roll downstairs, you know, go do my 5 a.m. workout, be home, be showered, and I'm doing my stuff at 7 a.m. and I can wrap up at 3:30 or 4. And if my son comes home and wants to hang out, we can hang out. That is super motivating to me. And as it is to lots of people, right? Because we are human beings. We're not droids or drones or whatever. But I think increasingly what work looks like and how we engage will radically change. I don't really know, you know, I can't tell you, well, you know, we're all going to get picked up in our self-driving Tesla and that will take us to the, you know, the floating city. And, you know, I don't know. I think value is going to be about doing interesting things, right? The attention economy, as we've seen, is super important. And there are people who are game streamers, there are people who are influencers that just, you know, live their lives authentically and build real businesses around that. So at AB InBev, you know, one of the things they're trying to figure out is how do they bring these new things, these innovative things into what's traditionally a pretty traditional world of selling a consumer packaged good. So, I mean, those sorts of things and trying to get your head around it and how that's going to help, you know, sell more stuff as well as, you know, entertain and engage people. Those are big issues. Another thing I think, you know, that has to radically change, to me, the whole health situation here, the delivery of healthcare, the total lack of any education in school about nutrition.
Yeah.
Isn't it outrageous that an 18-year-old kid walks out of high school with a diploma and with literally 0 hours about nutrition education, what's good for your body and what's bad for your body, and financial education, how to avoid being one of these idiots who's under mountains of debt. I mean, these are huge crises for our country right now. The financial crisis, which is going to explode with this whole student debt thing, that's going to be the next huge bubble to burst. And, you know, the obesity and the sickness thing, like we need to fix that. And we need to get people to care about those things and, you know, maybe not have the goal of living so large, but living happier, you know, living with less shit and more engagement with the people around you. I think in the US, we're just way too materialistic. We're way too concerned about what the hell Kim Kardashian does. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing is like the bane of my existence when I see those sorts of, you know, reality shows that people care about this crap instead of, like, you know, being engaged in, hey, who's across the table from you and who's under the roof with you, and, you know,
being present.
Being present. So I don't know. I think something there needs to change. I think in healthcare delivery, you know, I'm trying out a service here in the Bay Area called Forward, where you subscribe and you go see a real doctor. And it's $150 a month, and I'm a member.
That's the appointment I was telling you about. I got an appointment, I think, at the end of next week to go get the blood work done to get it started.
Awesome. Let me know how it is. I signed up, but again, kind of like a European healthcare service. They didn't.
I don't even know what I signed up for, though. But what is it? So the basic concept of Forward is they're going to take my blood and they're going to tell me all the things that I'm at a high risk of, like, contracting. Thanks. I appreciate it.
I think it's supposed to be that it's a flat rate. You don't get dinged every time you go see a doctor. It's a subscription. But, like, if you fall down, break your arm, there's no Forward hospital. So I don't know. Like you, Garnett, you are a true innovator, and it would be great to hear what you think about that. But I think different manners of delivery and helping people stay healthy are going to be really important. And we just need to find a better way.
It sounds like tech is actually doing stuff to help people live better, or needs to. That's Mark Friedler's future prediction. And I think it's probably pretty much right on, actually. Really needs to do more.
Yeah, I think so. And just, you know, also what you're talking about, the open office, you know, the research is in. And I think when we look back, you know, over the last 20 years, we're going to be like, oh my God, social media has been the biggest disaster for our
people. No kidding.
And I mean, seriously, teen suicide rates are way up. They're, you know, you see this at school, like people are, you know, kids are being cyber bullied and they're upset.
Extreme behaviors, extreme points of views, all that is like way up.
So I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, I think tech needs to be doing more stuff than, you know, becoming click farms and basically getting people addicted. Instead of getting people addicted to alcohol or tobacco or to drugs, they're getting people addicted to, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook, which is just as dangerous.
Well, Mark, I think there's a lot of stuff we could mine, and we're going to have to cut it off now, but we definitely want to have you back because I think we could talk for hours and hours.
Yeah, we need to do an entire episode or multiple episodes with Mr. Friedler about corporate innovation because he's truly lived like all parts of that cycle from the outside in, and now he's working with one of the world's largest, most long-lived brands, and he's going to bring a lot of flavor to their innovation, no pun intended. I'm super excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, that was a great few episodes with Mark Friedler. We have lots of great discussions and debates ahead, and next time we have Emanuele Dal Carlo of FairBnB, a community-centered alternative to current vacation rental platforms that prioritizes people over profit and offers the potential for authentic, sustainable, and intimate travel experiences. That's next time, so stay with us.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.